Rachel Seifert. Reach. Wednesday, and Kim's mother goes up to the school for parents' evening. She's doing badly then. Well, no, not exactly. She can read and write. Quite well for a seven-year-old, as it happens. Her daughter's class teacher pushes Kim's report around on the desk with her fingertips, and Alice waits for her to pull the words together. She's just not an easy child to reach, Mrs. Bell. Home is the end house of the terrace above the seafront. From her bedroom window, Kim can see over the rooftops to the old pier and beyond it. The last curve of sand before the headland. Seagulls hover on thermals, suspended, and Kim watches them at the window, swaying, waiting. From here she will see her mother when she comes home from the school. In the door and then chopping. No sitting down between, and no hello either. But this is not unusual. Kim's description of her mother in one of her school books. She always cooks with her coat on. Kim waits an extra minute or so after her mother has passed along the path beneath her windowsill to the back door and the kitchen. Face still pressed to the wall and still hidden from the street below, Kim listens a while to the pot and pan noises, then goes downstairs to find Alice. Early evening, getting dark, working by the blue light of the grill flame, chops spitting underneath. Kim stands in the doorway a minute or so, but Alice does not turn. An evening like any other. Potato peelings on the counter. Mother's back at the sink. Kim wonders briefly if she got the day right, if Alice has been to the parents' evening at all, but decides against mentioning it. Joins her brother in the sitting room instead, watches TV with Joseph until dinner. If she's staying, Alice will take her coat off and eat with her children. Tonight she has a cup of tea and makes sure the washing up is underway before she heads off out to work again. A reminder of bedtimes and a brisk kiss each on her way to the door. This too is normal. So Kim breathes a little easier, dries the plates slowly that Joseph washes fast, watches the familiar sight of her mother's back receding down the garden path. She can close her eyes and see Alice making her way down the hill to the seafront, keys gripped in her right hand, left holding her collar together against the wind. Kim's eyes are sore tonight, scratchy, her lids heavy. She keeps them closed, keeps her mind's eye on her mother a little longer. Imagines the sea flat behind Alice as she opens the salon door, surface skimmed into ripples by the wind. She knows her mother chose the shop for its view across the beach along the seafront. Has heard her telling the customers, watched her polish the wide glass window clean of rain and salt. Alice plays no music in her salon. She does not talk much. There is calm when she cuts and sets hair. In the summer with the door open and the sea air, in the winter with the hum of the dryers and the wide window misted against the dark afternoons. Kim opens her eyes again at the kitchen window. Her mother long gone, brother back in front of the television. She dries her hands on the damp tea towel, flicks the last crumbs of dinner off the kitchen table. Kim tries to rest her forehead on the cool surface but can't. Her neck stiff, resisting, caught somehow by her shoulders. The days before the parents' evening have been edgy, and she can't relax now, not sure what to do with all the worry. When Alice is asked about her business, she says she makes a decent living for her family. Margins are tight with debts like hers, but she has no gaps in her appointment book to speak of, few concerns to raise with her accountant. When Alice thinks about her daughter, as she does this evening, she sees her pale eyes and paler hair, the solid flesh of her face with its closed, impassive expression. Stubby thumbs, sucked white and soft and drawn into tight, damp fists. Alice has long fingers and strong nails, neat ovals without cuticles. She does them last thing before she leaves the salon, after the work is done. Alone with her thoughts and files, rubbing the creaming, hand over hand over hand. She didn't argue with what the teacher said this afternoon. Not an easy child. Alice has heard those words before now, from different sources, in different disguises. So many times she has come to expect them. Would never say so, but she agrees. With Joseph it was simple. Love arrived with him. Fury when the midwife carried him away from her across the delivery room to be washed and weighed. Kim was early. Only a few weeks after Frank had gone. Gas and air and Alice kept telling the midwife she wasn't ready for the baby, but she came anyway. No tears and not much pain either. And then it took Alice years to get used to her. Her rare smiles, her uncooperative arms and legs. Alice hears the pigeons shuffling in the eaves above the doorway as she locks up. The soft, quivering noise they make in their throats. The water behind her is calm, just a slight breeze coming in across the sands, breaking up the surface a little, touching her cheek as she turns the key in the lock and up the street towards home. Thursday, and Kim is ill. She vomits once at school. A pile of sawdust and a smell in the corridor. Again when she gets home. Joseph heats the dinner Alice has left in the fridge for them. And when Kim throws up a third time, he phones the shop. Can you come home now, Mum? Run her a bath and put her to bed, love. Please, I'll not be late. Make sure she drinks something. Joseph does as he is told, and his sister is silent, compliant. When Alice comes home, it is dark and Kim is running a fever. Dry heat and then sudden sweats which glue her pale hair to her forehead. Friday morning. Kim can't stand up to walk to the toilet, and so when she needs to throw up again, her mother finds her crawling out into the bright hall. No school for you then. An unwieldy dead weight with limbs, Alice carries her daughter to the bathroom. Cold black tea, chalky taste of the aspirin mashed into jam and eaten with a teaspoon. Alice is home for 15 minutes at lunchtime, keeps her coat on. Stands her daughter naked by the radiator, washes her down with a flannel and hot water in a red plastic bowl. Kneeling next to her clammy body, its awkward joints and dimples, soft belly. Kim's eyes are half closed and she sways as Alice works. Hot cloth on face and neck, round ears, down spine, between toes and fingers. Skin turning cool where the flannel has been. Kim lies in new pyjamas when Alice leaves for work again, under new sheets and tucked blankets, curtains drawn against the day. The slats of the bunk above her shift and bird's eyes peep from the mattress. Beaks and wings. Kim calls for her mum, but she's gone now, back down the road. The hairspray smell of Alice left with her, and Kim is alone with the birds again. They fly out between the slats, grey wings beating the hot air against her cheeks. Alice always hoped it would come. Read about it in the leaflets she got from the midwives and the library. You will not always bond with your baby immediately, but this is normal and no cause for worry. Kim arrived and Alice had two to care for. Frank gone and only one of her. Didn't seem nearly enough. Joseph was 4 then and she would pick him up from nursery school early. To feel his hand holding her skirt as they walked home along the seafront, to have his arms fold around her neck when she lifted him up. Alice tried holding Kim after her evening bottle, after Joseph was asleep and they could have some quiet time together, like it said in the leaflets. But it was hard, and sometimes it frightened her, sitting with her baby and still feeling so little. red-brown spots gather in the afternoon. On the soles of Kim's feet, behind her ears, inside her eyelids. Joseph sees them when the doctor shines his torch in his sister's dark bedroom. He pulls the girl's eyelids down with his thumbs. I'll need to use your telephone. Call an ambulance and your mother. Joseph tells Kim later that they drove away with the siren on, but Kim remembers silence inside the ambulance. Looking at her mother and then following Alice's gaze to the trees and lampposts passing, the strip of world visible through the slit of clear window above the milk glass in the doors. Alice Bell's girl had meningitis and nearly died. The customers in the salon ask concerned questions, and Alice gets a call from the health visitor too. The woman has a good look at the clean hall, the tidy kitchen Alice leans her to. The grass in the garden is long, falls this way and that, but Alice is sure that everything else is in good order. Thinks she recognises the health visitor too, that she has maybe cut her hair before. Alice gets leaflets from her, is told about the tumbler test. Roll a glass against the rash, she says. Alice thanks the woman, but thinks it's not really any good to her, this information. It's happened now. Over. Kim will be home again soon. The house is quiet after the health visitor leaves. Small. Alice sweeps her leaflets off the kitchen table, dumps them in the bin on the front on her way back to the salon. Kim has scars. A tiny round wound in the small of her back where they tap the fluid from her spine. And one on the back of her hand from the drip. Skin and vein still slightly raised, puncture mark already healing, fading with the black turning yellow bruise. She has fine white scratch lines on the soles of her feet too. But these are more memory than reality. Pin tip traces to check for sensation, pricks in the tops of her toes that drew blood drops, which later become blood spots on the hospital sheets. The real scar is at her throat. Tracheotomy. Kim can't say the word, but this is where her fingers go at night in her hospital bed and when she wakes. To feel the way the skin is pulled over, small folds overlapping and grown together. Like melted plastic, the beaker which fell in on itself when Joseph left it on the stove. At first, the hairy ends of the stitches are there too. 6 black bristles for Kim's fingertips to brush against under the dressing, to investigate in the bathroom mirror when no one else is there to be looking. 1 hand on the wheelie drip, the other pushing herself up onto the sink, closer to the long, clean mirror and the grey-pink pucker of skin in her reflection. Kim is back at home now, back at school. Weeks have passed already, but Alice still sees the first days in the hospital with her daughter. The pictures come at her from nowhere. When she's doing the books, while she is cutting, shopping, walking, on her way home. From her bedroom window, Kim watches her mother in the dusk light coming up the road. She walks with her coat unbuttoned, and sometimes she stops, head down, hands deep in her pockets. Stays like that for a minute or two on the pavement before walking on. They held Kim's body curled and still, and Alice watched. Daughter's spine turned towards her, small feet pulled up below her bum. Brown iodine swirled onto her skin, and then her toes splayed as the needle went in. 5 separate soft pads on each foot, reaching. They had a bed free for Alice in a room down the hall, but she stayed in the chair by Kim's bed and didn't sleep much. Awake when Kim's temperature rose again and she swallowed her tongue. The doctors drew the curtain around the bed and the fitting girl while they worked. so Alice couldn't see what they were doing any longer. But still she didn't move. Stayed put, listening, while they made the hole for the tube in her daughter's neck and took her temperature down with wet sheets around her legs. No one asked Alice to leave, and she sat in the chair, shoes off, coat on, pulled tight around her chest. Kim has headaches too. Joseph watches while his sister ties the belt around her head. One of Granddad's old ones. Big buckle, cracked leather. Round her forehead, over her temples. He pulls it tight for her and then she lies down. Head under the blankets. Nose showing. Brows pulled into a frown by the belt. Jaw clenching. Neck held taut against the pain. Kim's drinks have to be warm because her teeth feel everything, and she is clumsy. Legs bruised from falls and corners, clothes stained colourful by spills. Kim has no sense of edges these days, where a glass can be placed safely, where her body can pass without damage. She creates noise and mess, and the mumbling speech that the doctor said should improve quickly takes weeks to go away. The school calls Alice in again. No parents' evening this time. A meeting with Kim's class teacher and headmistress this time. Attendance register open on the desk between them. When does Kim leave the house, Mrs. Bell? 8:45, with her brother. Every morning? Alice nods, doesn't tell them that she leaves the house at 8:20 to open the salon. Thinks they are doubtless capable of working that one out. She reminds them. My daughter has been very ill. Yes. They are writing things down and Alice is remembering again. That Kim couldn't stop herself looking at her tracheotomy wound. That the peeled ends of the dressing curled up off her neck, giving her away, gathering dust like magnets. Tacky traces on her skin turning black. Alice visited her at visiting time, whispered, "It'll get infected." She smiled when she said it. Didn't want to tell her daughter off, just to tell her. Let her know that she had noticed. That she understood it. Her curiosity. Kim looked at her. Skin under her eyes flushing. Hands moving up to cover the dressing. Alice didn't know what that meant. Whether her daughter was surprised or pleased or angry. Kim is what we call on report now, Mrs. Bell. She could have died. Yes. They blink at her across the desk. Sympathetic, insistent. I'm afraid her attendance record has to improve. Kim finds different places to spend her days. Sometimes the coast path over the headland, where the wind cuts into her legs. Sometimes the burnt stubble of the fields inland, where she flies her kites made out of plastic bags. Most days it's the beach, though, where she lies down under the old pier. On her back on the cracking shingle, waves at her feet, seawall behind her. Sodden wood, salt, seaweed and litter. Above her she could see the gulls flapping battles through the gappy planks of the old walkway. Lie still, watching the starlings fly their swooping arcs around the splintered columns and rails. Cloud and wind over the water. Storm of black beak and wing reeling above her head. Alice shuts the salon early and is home before the children. Joseph acts as though it is normal for his mother to open the door for him. Kim steps into the hallway, clutching her school bag as if it were proof of something. Telltale damp of the day in her clothes and hair. Joseph slips upstairs to his bedroom. Kim stays silent, eyes on the wallpaper while Alice asks her why and where she has been. She watches Kim's face for a reaction, but cannot read anything from her daughter's expression. Whatever, You'll be leaving the house with me from now on.
No.
Later, Alice goes over the scene again. In bed, light out, eyes open. Feels something closing down, tight around her guts. Remembers the screaming battles they had when Kim was 3, 4, 5. Doesn't want to repeat those years again. Her daughter smelled of sea and air this afternoon. It filled the corridor. Alice didn't know what to do, what to say, so she said nothing. An almost 8-year-old stranger standing in front of her. Mouth open, breath passing audibly over her small wet teeth. Kim doesn't know it, but the school keeps close tabs on her. Her teachers know she comes for registration and then dodges out of the gate behind the playing fields. They don't confront her. Instead, they call her mother. And then Alice hangs up the phone in the back room of the salon, behind the closed curtain, under the noise of the dryers and cries. Alice doesn't know it, but some mornings her daughter stands outside the salon on the front. The smell leads her there. Hot air, warm skin and hair and shampoo. She doesn't go in. Instead, she watches her mother's face at the salon window. Eyes and cheekbones amongst the reflections. Blank sky, cold sea, ragged palms. Her mother's eyes blinking, face not moving. Lamppost with light strung between, rocking in the breeze. Another Wednesday, another week or two later, and Kim stands in the salon doorway. Alice has had the phone call already. Knows her daughter hasn't been to school. Didn't expect her to show up here. The rain slides down the window pane, and through the open shop door, she can hear it singing in the drains. Alice takes her daughter's coat from her, sits her down in an empty chair. The salon is quiet, and Kim spends the next few minutes watching her mother working in the mirror. She sees that Alice doesn't look at her, only out of the window, or down at her fingers, turning grey hair around the pastel shades of the plastic rollers, pink and yellow and green. Her mother's cheeks are flushed, lips drawn in, and the skin around her eyes pulled taut. When Alice steps over to her, Kim looks away, sees the old lady's eye on them, under the dryer. Alice knows she is watching them too. Has felt her customers observing her ever since Kim was ill. Has grown accustomed to the scrutiny. She stands behind her daughter now. A second or two passes, and she finds herself still there. Not shouting, not angry. Just looking at the slope of her daughter's shoulders, the nape of her neck, her sodden hair. Alice gets a clean towel from the shelves at the back, and then plugs in a dryer, sets to work. At first, Kim watches the rain, the gulls fighting on the rail outside, but soon she closes her eyes, feels the pressure of her mother's fingers, how strong her hands are, how warm the air is, the low noise of the dryer.